2010 Spring Convention Banquet of the California Council of Blind Order. All right. And we are being broadcast over the world via ACB Radio. So let's give a shout out to the ACB Radio listenership. I'm going to toast the microphone with my wine so all you ACB radio listeners can. Okay. I am going to first recognize for our banquet invocation. I guess I have to give two introductions to this person. The first introduction is one that I was told to use by Linda Perrell, who works with this individual. Only a suggestion, I'm told. But I like it. Camp nurse and longtime Benedictine scholar. Bill Simpson is both of those. At Enchanted Hills Camp, he's the nurse. He's definitely a scholar. But Bill Simpson is also one of the nicest individuals that any one of us could ever meet. And so for our invocation this evening, I want to introduce to you Bill Simpson. Yeah.
Thank you, and it is a pleasure to be here. Right now, what I would like to do is invite you to put your forks down and to take a moment and just reflect on your day and be still. So, and then I will do the invocation. So you'll get ready because I'm going to ring a little bell. We celebrate the mystery that each of us has been created in your divine image. We have been given hearts to see you in one another and in the faces of humanity and to impart compassion. Ears to hear the cries of those who are often not heard. Voices to speak justice, hands to bestow mercy, and feet combined with faith to move mountains to deliver a message. We celebrate the discernment you have given, the knowledge to carry it out, and the blessed wisdom to know how and to know when. May we rejoice this night in your faithfulness and truth. You're showing us the way not only as individuals, but as a community, and granting to us a vision that will open doors and a way for many to enter. May we celebrate each other's unique gifts and diversity, and with grateful hearts, rejoice as new possibilities unfold. May it be so. May it be so.
Thank you, Bill. That was very, very lovely. Okay, now, for you first-timers, we have a rule here that the president does not preside at these banquets. And I think the reason for that rule is that most people are very sick and tired of the president by this point in time of any convention. And personally, I'm sick and tired of him myself. So, it's now my privilege to introduce the MC of our banquet. Now, The MC tonight, I always do something before I introduce the MC. I do a little research before the banquet to give you a little nugget of information about our MC. Tonight's MC is Dan Kaiser. Now, a lot of you may not have known this, but Dan in his younger days wanted to be a rancher. And he decided if he was going to be a rancher, he was going to move where the ranches were big, Texas. So, Dan got on a plane and flew, I guess, Texas Air, And he looked at the seats and, boy, these are the biggest seats he had ever seen. He says, wow, how come these seats are so big? And the flight attendant says, well, sir, we're going to Texas, you know. So he gets off the plane in Laredo or San Antonio or one of those places, and goes into a bar. Because you know, Dan, he can drink a beer or two. And even when he was young, he could drink a beer or two.
Research was correct.
That's right. And he goes into the bar, and they put down this, must have been about a 56-ounce mug. And Dan reaches out to this mug. He says, wow, this is the biggest mug I have ever seen. And the bartender says, well, sir, you know you're in Texas. Dan says, oh, okay. He says, you know, after a while he has a beer or two, never just one for Dan. And so he says, sir, could you show me where the restroom is? And he says, oh, fine, sir. And of course, Dan didn't have guide dog in these days. He was just using his cane. And the guy says, you take the first right and you go to the second door on your left. And Dan's mobility skills had a little left to be desired, so he took the third door. And he opens the door and he goes crashing into the pool. And he says, help, don't flush, don't flush. So that, in a nutshell, is your MC for the evening, member of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, Dan Kaiser.
So I'm a lush, okay. Hey, welcome. How are you enjoying the convention, everybody? Woo, yeah. You know, speaking about my mobility, it reminds me of the time that I was walking up from to the Lighthouse for the Blind when it was on San Francisco, when it was on Mission. So you had to go up the BART stairs right there on Market, down 7th, one block to Mission. And I'm standing there tapping I was between guide dogs, and I was bouncing my OCB cane, and it had the metal tip, and it bounces really well, as you know. I mean, you sit there, bing, 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 and it went down the grate. And I'm standing there like, oh my God, what do I do now? And so I didn't really, there were some, you know, homeless individuals that, well, I didn't know if they were homeless or undesirable. I mean, I just didn't want to go up to them because they had a high alcohol smell, and I didn't really want to, you know, to take my chances. Maybe it would have been better than getting run over by a car, though. So I then proceeded to say, okay, I'm going to pretend, because I was between dogs. So this is a true story. I actually simulated my dog pulling on the harness and my holding the handle, and I got to the stairs at 7th. Now, back then, you could hear the BART gates go swish, boom, swish, boom, swish, boom, and the BART gates were doing that. So I got down the stairs, and I followed the little fence, and I found the swish, booms, and I got in there. Now, I lived right by the El Cerrito Plaza BART station, if you know the bay. The bus parked right in front when you walk down the stairs and go through the El Cerrito swish, boom, and turn left and go into the bus. The bus happened to stop on the same block without crossing a street. I was halfway down the block, and I followed the lawn with my foot. So I actually traveled from San Francisco to El Cerrito without a cane or nothing. Thank you. I want to introduce everybody at the head table. And Now, I wouldn't have happened. Now, today I couldn't have done that because you can't hear the bark gates, right? So, anyway. I want to introduce everybody at the head table. We have if you're facing the table to your right, to our left, would be Linda Perrell, president of the San Francisco chapter of CCB. Next to Linda's right, we have Lena Bandy, president of Blind Students of California and now a current CCB board member. And we have this guy that really hardly anybody's ever heard of. I think he's like the Brian Charlson. Hi, Brian. Welcome. Actually, I've never met Brian, so I shouldn't tease him. And he's also the former ACB treasurer of the American Council of the Blind. And Kim Charlson is to his right, first vice president of the American Council of the Blind. And here's a guy I really have never heard of. He's kind of just popped in. Jeff Tom is his name, president of the California Council of the Blind. And former director of the San Francisco Lighthouse of the Blind and CEO of the World Institute on Disability, Ms. Anita Aaron. And yay, Anita. And then some guy named Dan Kaiser. We'll skip that guy. And to my right, the first lady of CCB, Leslie Tom.
Yay, Leslie.
And this guy who likes to ring bells, Mr. Bill Simpson. He rings my bell every time. Okay. And to Bill's right is Donna Pomerantz, second vice president of the California Council of the Blind. And first lady of the American Council of the Blind, lest we not forget. Next is Jean Ackerman, vice president, San Mateo County Chapter, CCB. And Mr. Mike Keithley, president, Silicon Valley Chapter of the CCB. And another person I barely know, Ms. Catherine Skivers, immediate past president, California Council of the Blind. Hey, Kathy. And a hardworking advocate for CCB, probably the hardest working advocate I have ever met, period, Mr. Eugene Lozano, Jr., first vice president, California Council of the Blind. I'm not very good with jokes, and everybody's been advising me, you know, I'm the MC, and I feel kind of stupid because I don't really do jokes. So I'll talk about the Dodgers. Oh, sorry.
There you go. Very good.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry. Go Giants. Anyway. Okay. I'll shut up. Okay. I'll knock it off. I was your governmental affairs director for 11 years, and I'm honored to be the MC because it gives me a chance to tell you the rest of the story. The stories that I couldn't tell because I would have been fired. No, I wouldn't have been fired, but they would have looked down their nose and said, you weren't supposed to do that, or you couldn't do that. So you guys want to hear the real deal at the Capitol? Well, not quite there. I won't tell you everything. The bribes and that. No. But, and Frank, close your ears, okay? Because Frank is the virgin governmental affairs director, so we want to keep him pristine in his job and do the right thing, not doing things like I did. I used to go to the Capitol in January, and I used to begin to lobby, actually in December, and I was known as the very first lobbyist out of the gate, because I always know one thing is that people remember the first guy that hits their office, or the last guy, but they don't, it's like an interview. And so I'm feeling really good, and I'm walking around and I'm confident, and I have this big smile on my face, and God, I love this work, and I'm hitting all these offices and everything. And one of the things that they do in the Capitol is they're moving furniture and they're painting. And so I'm walking around this corner, and there's this huge, gigantic stack of furniture. It's about 8 feet up off the ground, stacked. And I, guide dog users don't shoreline very well. And I went crashing into that tower, and I hear this bang, boom, and it was loud because those halls are echoey. And I had one or two choices. I could either stand there and get embarrassed, or I could just walk and act like it wasn't me. So I act like it wasn't me, and I had this like guilty, huge smile on my face, like that sounded really funny. And wow, I'm glad nobody looked. I used to be a high partial, so I actually looked around like, did anybody see that? And so I walk around the corner, and there's, well, he wasn't Senator Pro Tem at the time, but there's Senator Steinberg. And Steinberg looks at me, and he sees this big, he goes, you really like this job, don't you, Dan? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I won't tell you about the my guide dog that was licking the senator's cream off of her leg at one time in a hearing. I won't go into that one.
Thanks for sharing, Dan.
Anyway. But anyway. Jeff's like cringing over there. He's like...
Give this man a microphone.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Ed Branch.
I've got it.
Okay, I'd like to bring up my former coworker, a darn good guitar player. People don't know this gentleman could play the guitar. He also barbecues. He used to tease me all the time because he knows I like to barbecue. And when I had my office out of my house, he'd go call me and goes, Dan, could you get away from your barbecue to do your job? Yeah, he'd just tease me. But I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Ed Branch talk to you a little bit.
Thanks, Dan. I'm to read the chapter donations that have been given, and we've received the following. From the Bayview chapter, $300 for the CCB General Fund. High Desert chapter for the CCB General Fund, $100. And I'm splitting the duties with my coworker Lily. Is there anyone else in the audience from any chapter has a donation to give at this time? Please raise your hand, and Lily will come around, and you can tell people what you've got.
Hello, this is Pam Pology from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. And our chapter donated $50 to the CCB state office in memory of Connie Schumann. Thank you very much. God bless.
Good evening. This is John Glass from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. And my fiance Susan Schulter and I would like to personally make a $1,000 donation to CCB. Thank you.
First, I want to thank the chapters that made those very kind donations, and I want to certainly thank Susan and John for their very, very generous donations. It really helps a great deal to keep all of our services going for all these kind donations, and thank you very much. And I have one more donation to announce, and you know, sometimes it's good to say a lot of words, and sometimes the less said, the better. And I think this is one of those times. I've been asked to announce on behalf of Avi Schumann a $2,000 donation from Avi in the name of his lovely late wife, Connie. for $2,000. Thank you, Abby. That is it. Thank you. Do as you like.
I want to take a moment of personal privilege. I'm not going to spill the beans and introduce the keynote because I'm leaving it to someone else. But I would just like to, I need to take the opportunity and say thank everybody for letting me go through the experience of the Blind Alliance for Rehabilitation Change and how much that really meant to me and how much it meant to the blind Californians and how much it meant to all of California. It was just a great, great experience. And the person you're going to hear tonight was one of my colleagues and made me feel so much at home in the profession. And so since I couldn't do that, I'm doing it now. Anyway, so I was going to tell you one little story that it was kind of the inside of the Capitol thing, and I wish all of you could have been at the bill signing of SB 105. Because, again, I screwed up in that one. That was really funny. Catherine Campisi, the director of the Department of Rehabilitation at the time, was, we were all sitting there waiting and all nervous. It was a formal situation. You know, I wasn't in my cutoff jeans, Kathy. I had an hour to get my suit on and go down to the governor's office on a Sunday afternoon. And the staff, the chief of staff and the press secretary brought me into the office. Catherine Campisi said, hold on to my wheelchair. Hold on, like I used to do with her when we'd travel. And I went to the governor's meeting room, and he had a little podium set up on the side, and there were a bunch of like 20 chairs in there, and there was chairs facing out. He put me, our Catherine put me under the flag of the state of California, and then everybody applauded, and they said, and now the governor of the state of California. They actually did it like it was the president of the United States, and everybody applauded. And the governor went over to the podium, which was to my left and to the audience's right, and he read this proclamation. And the interesting thing I thought was, they didn't really say anything about the division bill. They praised the value of the 508 legislation that was embedded in the bill that would give equal access to people more access, more rights. And so So then I thought, okay, that must be it. And then some guy came over and stood next to me, and I went, oh, are we starting it? And he goes, no, I guess not. And he goes, I said, oh, do you know if my tie's straight? And he leaned over, and I recognized him as Governor Gray Davis, and I went, oh, shh, like that. Oh, you're the governor. And they told me that was the best thing that could have happened because he was really afraid, not afraid, but he was really nervous of other people, of just people he didn't know. And that loosened him up. And so he smiled and laughed, and then it opened everything up, and he went around and shook everybody's hand, and that broke the ice. But anyway, that was my experience at SB 105. All right, I'd like to introduce to you a wonderful publications chair, Ms. Bernice Kendarian.
Well, I want to, first of all, recognize the publications committee. We lost four members this past year, one of whom was Lewis Preston. And but we have Winifred Downing, Evelyn Drury, Donna Pomerantz, Susan Schulter, Catherine Schmidt Whitaker, and Judy Wilkinson. And of course we have Joel Isaac is the webmaster, and Lynn Laird is our formatter for the large print, and our outgoing editor, Mike Keithley. And they do work hard all year long on your behalf. This year, we had a wide variety of articles, and everybody voted, so that meant that a lot of the votes were very close. So I'm going to talk about the honorable mentions first. Let's see if we can do this. Okay, in the lifestyle category, An Introduction to Facebook by Joel Isaac and Richard Retta is one of the honorable mentions. Yeah. Thanksgiving and Giving Thanks by Catherine Skivers was another honorable mention. My Seattle Story by Don Wilcox was another honorable mention. Okay. The CCB Publications Award for Best Lifestyle Article of 2009 goes to Patricia LaFrance Wolf for her article called Dream in the Winter Blind Californian. And I'm sorry that Pat was unable to attend, but I'm sure that Ed will see that she receives her plaque. I know which one I have. You have the one close to Ed. Okay. In the for the best issue article, in the honorable mention category, Lighting That Works by Dr. Bill Takeshita. Hollywood's Blindness, The Various Parts by Rick Boggs. I always get this one mixed up. Let me get it right. Advocating for Light Rail Safety by Donna Pomerantz. And this year's lifestyle article, issue-oriented article for 2009 goes to Susan Schulter for Railing for Success. Susan is here, aren't you? Susan?
I'm here.
Okay, and if someone will read the plaque and take it to Susan. Let her say a few words.
Aren't you going to read them?
Yeah.
California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Issue-Oriented Article of 2009 to Susan Schulter for Brailing for Success, Reflections on the 2009 Northern California Regional Braille Challenge. The Blind Californian Summer 2009 presented this 17th day of April, 2010 in the city of Burlingame, California.
Thank you very much. This is a complete surprise and a delightful honor. The CCB community has, over the course of the past 5 years, come to be a central and important part of my life. And to be honored by all of you in this way means more than I can ever say. So thank you very much.
Susan, it was also a surprise to all the members of the publication committee.
Okay, congratulations to all the winners and all the runner-ups. I think I was a runner-up a bunch of times until I finally won. Okay, I'd like to introduce the intrepid artist Bazin for introducing the membership awards.
Yay, intrepid!
I get the pleasure of announcing the two membership incentive awards. These go to the chapters who had the largest growth. Last year we made a switch. We used to have one at the spring convention for the highest percentage of growth, and then once at the fall convention for the highest numbers, actual numbers of growth. But we found through the years that it seems like most of the ones that had the growth in the fall were because people were paying their dues late.
Yep.
So we decided to switch to have both of them in the spring because we thought that was more fair. One of the criteria is that in order to win either of these awards, you have to have your roster and your dues paid on time. Otherwise, you cannot have one of these awards. This year, we have the pleasure of giving the award for the highest percentage in growth goes to the Blind Students of California. They had a growth of 38.8%. The chapter that had the highest number of new members was the San Diego Braille Club. They had 11 new members this year. So congratulations to both of you. And I encourage all of you chapters to work harder on membership. Thank you.
All right, let's give them all a big hand. All right. All right, now to introduce the regular awards, Catherine Skivers.
Yay!
Woo!
I would like to tell you all that being an awards chair is really a great thing because you get to read things that are so nice about people. You hear too much about what isn't nice about people. It's great to hear that, really. We don't have as many this year. We received one a Hall of Fame, which we could not do because it did not meet the criteria for that award. But I tell you what, for the person who nominated the person for the award that we're not presenting, I'd love to have a friend like that. That was a lovely, lovely thing that they wrote, but it didn't. It's important when you're making a nomination for an award that you look at the things that we always put in the BC to tell you what they're about. The award for the Hall of Fame has to be years of really dedicated work for people. But anyway, we're not going to mention the name, but I want those people to know that we really appreciate receiving the nomination from the lady, and anybody with a friend like you, not to be named, has really got a friend. Thank you for sending it in. Committee members are Roger Peterson, Gussie Morgan, Bernice Kandarian, Chris Gray, Joe Smith, Don Queen, and Al Gill. And I hope we're streaming this, are we?
Yes, we are.
I'd like to know if Al Gill's out there. We have no way of knowing. We know that every convention, Al and Connie are always here. But Connie's going through a very bad time, and Al's going through it with her. And all we want to tell you, and I would like you all to tell them, I hope you're listening in, and I bet you are. If you are, we love you a lot, and we missed you, and we wish you were here, and we wish you well.
All right.
And if we had a award that we'd give to you, we'd do it. And who knows, we may one of these times. We have a lot of interesting things happen. We're working on these awards. And we were prepared for this year three awards. Two are going to be presented this evening. One's going to be presented in October and in the fall because the person will be more likely to be, well, they'll be sure and be available then. And we didn't think this was that they were going to be available now for sure, so we're going to do it then. You know, I'm having a terrible time, ladies and gentlemen, because I just have been listening to these stories Dan's been telling, and I want so much to tell him. Maybe we could give him an award, and I'll deviate for just a minute, since you're all used to me doing what I'm not supposed to do. And when I was president, Dan was at the house one day, and he wouldn't tell you this. If you're going to tell a story about yourself, tell it like it is. He went grocery shopping. Had very hot weather in the summertime in Sacramento. And he went grocery shopping, and as many people do, he went in his shorts and shirt. And he got an emergency call on his cell at the store from Catherine Campisi. And she said, "We need you in the Capitol, and we need you now." And he said, "Catherine, I'm grocery shopping. I'm not dressed." She said, "I don't care. You have to come now." Well, he went. And we have always hoped to be on national TV. And when he called me and told me we were, and what he was wearing, Jeff, I bet you haven't had to go through that. I never did that to you anyway. Anyway, he was a great guy. And I, after the shock, I got a kick out of it. And I said to him, "The next time you're called on to go to the state capitol in your shorts, make sure which Catherine you're talking to." Anyway, the Community of Service Award is presented annually to a blind or visually impaired individual who, through his or her association and activities, has demonstrated an integration into the community and interaction with the life of the community. The person we have here tonight really fills that bill in every way. It's a person who's traveled in different parts of the world and wherever they have gone, and I'm going to say they because I don't want to give away if it's a he or she yet. And they have traveled through the world and meet people well, makes a good impression, does a lot of serving on boards and commissions and committees in the city where this person lives and in cities before where they've lived. They've got interaction with the local and state and national officials and legislators, and they've trained them and educated them on the capabilities and the needs of blind and visually impaired people. This is a person who works especially hard for people who find themselves on IHSS and that kind of program. Very involved with the legislature. I've had a lot of experiences with the legislator, but I've never had one come to my home, and this person now is going to probably know who we're talking about, because it's the only person I know of where the legislator wanted them to know something and came to their home to see them. I don't think many of us have that kind of a record. Anyway, she's gotten people to, now we'll say she's gotten people to go across streets blindfolded to find out how it is and travel in wheelchairs. And I've known this person for about 14 years, and there is no end to committees she's served on for this organization and for even been on national ones. And she really is someone that I have come to admire. She's as involved in legislation and anything that CB gets into, she goes, and people know who she is. She's been named in her county now a contact person for the county with regard to visual impairments. And if you don't know who you are by now, I want to tell you that it's a great pleasure for this committee to give this award to Jane Cardis. And Ed, I'd appreciate it if you could read Jane's award to her.
Okay, California Council of the Blind Community Service Award to Jane Cardis, whose active participation as a leader of the California Council of the Blind and as a leader in her local community, serving on local boards and commissions in matters such as in-home support services and disability awareness, has led to the creation of a positive awareness of the abilities and needs of people who are blind and visually impaired in her area, and a close and productive relationship between the blindness community and local, state, and national legislators, presented the 17th day of April, 2010, in the city of Burlingame, California.
Thank you. Thank you, Lily. We could tell that wasn't it, huh? Lily McCrae is a great help to us, and it's great to have her helping. Jane, are you around here? Are you getting? Are you surprised?
Well, I'm really shocked. And, you know, I hesitated coming, and then I thought, no, I will. And I would talk to different people, Bernice and Kathy, too, both saying, oh, you just got to come. And but I didn't expect this. And it's really, really, you know, being on the board before and serving in my community and having my assemblyman to my house and so forth is just all been something I've loved doing. It's just a pleasure almost to serve, and it makes you feel so good when you can do something for somebody else or help them through the ropes that you went through and trying to learn about blindness and getting in touch with the community. I just thank you all so much. I'm so honored, and thank you again.
The California Council of Blind Merit Award is given to an individual who provides outstanding volunteer service to CCB, its chapters, or its affiliates. When you hear who we selected for this award, you'll agree that this person does everything, and it's a well-deserved award. In the other life this person has, and most of us have another life outside of CCB, no matter how much work we do, she's chosen a profession that helps people. Seems to be her way. She's just demonstrated leadership in working with committees and providing CCB affiliates and even chapters with a lot of interesting help. And a record of any ups would be proud of the things that she's accomplished. She helps change people's lives. When you lose your sight anytime, it's not easy. And the older you get, it's very hard for younger people for one reason, and it's difficult for seniors. And with it all, it's difficult for our families. This person helps not only the people who have become blind, but their families, and particularly works very hard with older people to make sure that they find out that there is a life even when you can't see. And she's been able to make it easier for many families and their friends. And she has been demonstrating outstanding leadership in an affiliate she leads. She's written a lot of articles, gives a lot of encouragement, very kind to everybody. And so without giving away any more secrets or doing any worse job, and so I said, I can never say the right words. It's hard to get up here and give awards and try to say things about people and not give away who they are. Yeah. And I haven't never become good at it, no matter how long I've done it. Anyway, I'll just say this, and I bet you'll all agree. To the chair of the Blind Senior Citizens, who are better off because of her dedication and commitment, we present this award to Bonnie Rennie. And I would appreciate it if Ed or Lily could read that for us.
California Council of the Blind Merit Award to Bonnie Rennie for giving unselfishly of her time and energy as leader of the California Council of the Blind Seniors with Vision Loss Committee to present programs and produce articles and publications, notably the committee's very popular booklet, Failing Sight and the Family Plight, that enhanced the lives of blind, visually impaired, and disabled seniors, encouraging them and their families to acknowledge the newly acquired disability and to continue to move forward with a productive and satisfying life, presented the 17th day of April, 2010, in the city of Burlingame, California.
We are very happy to have been able to present these. And the committee works hard, and they really enjoy what they do. It's been a privilege and an honor to serve as chair of this committee because they're fine people. If you ever added up all the hours, or rather the years that we have, we really get a lot older because I'm in there. But anyhow...
Is Bonnie here? Can we hear from Bonnie?
Yes, Bonnie, are you here?
I just didn't want to interrupt Kathy.
Oh, okay.
That wouldn't be protocol. I just want to say thank you, and I could not be more shocked or surprised. And this is... What's great about this is it's recognition for all of the seniors that are going to be hopefully our members once they realize how much CCB can help them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bonnie, and I know the seniors thank you very much. I was listening to a program where they were interviewing people who were between 100 and 106, and I was surprised at how sharp they were. I think about such things nowadays. I'm not 100, but I'm getting up there. And they asked this lady who was 102, and I was so angry the reporter would dare ask her. He said, if you were doing your own epitaph, what do you think you'd say? And she said, let me think about that a minute. She said, I think I'd put, here lies someone who doesn't want to be here. And I thought, for senior citizens to be able to feel that way when they're 102 and they still want to be there, good. That's something that people do, Bonnie, and you're one of them. And I really think it's wonderful. And I hope that you will all look at the things that we put in the BC and nominate people because it's very hard. I don't know why we don't have to give 100 awards a year because we have very fine. There's no better group of people in the world than this organization. If you don't believe it, just ask us.
You guys have to deal with that.
Thank you.
It's your own problem over there.
Thank you, Kathy. Do you guys want to hear another story?
Oh. I don't think you want to get them to take a vote count on that, Dan.
Yeah, it's kind of mixed. I'll go ahead and skip it. No, I'll tell it. I'm sick enough that I don't care. You know, this isn't going to be about politics. It's going to be about vision. And I was a partial. Actually, I was a high partial. I saw 2200s up until junior high school, and then I lost a lot of my visual acuity. One of the things I like to do is ride bicycles, whether I was supposed to or not. And I grew up in Alameda, the city of Alameda, and on the towards the east side of the island, there's a park called, I think it's the Robert Crown Memorial Beach. And on the south side of the park, there are stairs that go about, four stories down to the sand. And I could see okay in the sun, but there was a stand of trees, and it was either I could see okay or I could not see at all. And so I couldn't see the stairs, because it was flat, because the horizon was flat, and I just thought the sidewalk just kept going. And so I got out of the sun into the shade, and I was, totally blind, and I hit those stairs on the bike. The funny thing was, I made it most of the way down the stairs upright. I say most of the way. Anyway, that's my story. I'd like to introduce you to President Tom again. Thank you.
And we know what it did to his brain when he hit it. Okay, let's hear it one more time for our great award winners. We have some real super people in this organization. This is my last Northern California convention, and being as president, and I decided that I would try and pick someone for banquet speaker that I wanted to hear, someone whom I have
the utmost respect for, who worked alongside her capacity as CEO for the Lighthouse for, well, at least as long as I've been in this office anyway, and she's been doing this a lot longer than I have. But I couldn't think of anyone I really wanted to hear more from who has had a bigger impact in this area than Anita Aaron. I decided I didn't want to have a long biographical introduction of her because I don't think that's necessary. Most of you in this room know what she's done and know her. Rather, I think that it suffices to say that she is one of us. Indeed, she is a member of this organization and proud to be such a member. So without further ado, I want to introduce our keynote speaker, someone who has done so much and continues to do so much, the Executive Director of the World Institute on Disability, Anita Aaron. Anita?
Okay. So thinking about Dan going head first down that four flights of stairs explained so much to me. Okay. So, you know, I went back and forth, and though some of you who know me, I emailed you and I said, what the hell should I talk about? I mean, what do I know that you guys don't know 10 times over? And people sent me wonderful ideas, and I went back and forth, and I paced in my house. I woke up in the night. I thought about, what should I talk about? I went to my colleagues at the World Institute on Disability, and they said, you don't know what to say to your colleagues at the California Council of the Blind? I mean, wouldn't that be the group you'd feel most comfortable talking to? And I said, well, that's the problem. You know, it's like I'm part of this group. I'm not separate from it. I don't have anything in addition to say. Well, they kind of all looked at me and said, honey, it's the job you signed on for. If you're the CEO of WID, you do go and you do say things you think are important. And you do let people know that you think they're important enough that you wanted to come. So, here I am. First of all, I'd like to say, because I think he's here, thank you to Brian Bashan for putting his hat in the ring at the right time and getting through the process and being the new CEO of the Lighthouse. Yeah. So can he get one more round of applause? I was really very nervous because I felt guilty about leaving, and yet I knew it was time. As I've said over and over again, every 20 years you ought to be able to have something new go on in your life. And I didn't want to divorce my husband. I mean, you know, I liked him. And so I'm looking at my choices, and maybe it's the job. But I was really afraid that I'd been the first visually impaired director, and maybe the waves would just come in and wipe that out of the sand, and the Lighthouse would go back to an earlier day, and that I wouldn't have anything to say about that. I'd had my say. You know what? You trust the process, and the process works. And if you go from Alpha to Omega, and Anita Aaron is Alpha, what would come next? Brian Bashan. So I wanted to just say a little bit about what I think, what it was like to be at the Lighthouse and why I decided it was time for change and what I think we all can do together going forward. You know, the Lighthouse has been around, depending on whether you believe myth or what you believe, since 1902 as the reading room for the blind. And I have written that in so many grant proposals that I'm always afraid I'm going to say it in a grant proposal I write for WID. You know, WID was a reading room for the blind in 1902. And it's got this long history that follows sort of the evolution of services to the blind through World Wars I and II, through the development of what were called blind field secretaries that went out into the community and met with veterans from World War II, other blind people, peer-to-peer counseling. It worked through employment programs, through the Wagner-O'Day Act and then the amended Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act. The organization has grown and evolved with the services system and the philosophy behind those services. Part of what's pushed that philosophy forward are the consumer organizations. And that's very unique to the field of blindness. In the world of disability rights and independent living, a lot of the policy is set by the agencies themselves, the nonprofit organizations. And they do, in many times, have more than 50% of their staff with disabilities, and many of them more than 50% of their boards with disabilities. But they are an agency. There isn't direction coming to them from consumer organizations. And one of the things I felt was the most valuable to me for the 20 years I was at the Lighthouse was being able to take direction from consumers who were on the street, on the ground, walking the walk, talking the talk, and living with vision loss. And it, I think, has made us a stronger group, a group with more depth, I guess is what I want to say. Do we disagree? We do disagree. We disagree with each other. We disagree across organizations. But you know what? When we come out with a policy that we really believe in, it's been vetted. It's been vetted among us, between us, all around us. And we can believe in it and be committed to it. And I think we deserve to give ourselves a lot of credit and a lot of praise for that. One of those examples for me while at the Lighthouse was what Dan mentioned a few minutes ago, BARC, Blind Alliance for Rehabilitation Change, because that really was a symbol of both consumer organizations, private nonprofit organizations, and professionals in the blindness field coming together to try to put an idea together for how services to the blind through the Department of Rehabilitation could be better delivered. I learned, like Dan was saying, I learned an incredible amount from that experience. I learned so much more than what the just sitting in the meetings and figuring out how we were going to go forward with this legislation. Because what I learned was how all kinds of us do business. Actually, I remember Brian Bashan coming up with one of our little lead bullet points, which said if you took all the people in need of work that were clients of the Department of Rehabilitation, at the rate of placement that things were now going, it would take 666 years for all those people to get placed. And I thought, oh, that's a long time. And I felt like we grew from that experience, we bonded, and we knew that we were committed towards something that would better serve the blind community. It's at that point I'd like to put out just one little challenge, and that is that I'm not sure that what just happened at the Department of Rehabilitation and the change in the leadership of the Deputy Director of Services to the Blind and Deaf is something that's in our best interest, and yet there was silence. It happened so quickly that we had no ability to respond. And I think that we should have been part of what was going on, not separate from it, not finding out about it through email, text messages, voicemails. And I also think that it shouldn't been a situation where the buck got passed up the line and then the decision coming down from an agency above the department. I think we need to hold the Department of Rehabilitation accountable for the decisions they make about the division of blind and deaf services. Another comment I'd like to make about my experience at the Lighthouse before I move on and spend a minute or two talking about what World Institute on Disability does is I felt like one of our major coming together as a community was the whole process around accessible pedestrian signals in San Francisco. And I know that those of you who were at the one of the group, CCLV, I think, yesterday morning, had a presentation from Lainey Feingold and a discussion about structured negotiations. And it is such an amazing process that went on. You know, But you need to understand how much a part of the roots of this organization has been. In 1980, the ACB had a convention in Oakland. And in order for Oakland to show how important it was to them to have blind people from all over the country coming to Oakland for convention, they installed the first audible pedestrian signal on Broadway at the hotel so that everybody at the convention could actually check out how an APS worked. That was because of your political work behind the scenes. That wasn't because the city of Oakland just knew to do that. And it wasn't long after that all down Broadway were the first series of accessible pedestrian signals installed, long before San Francisco even got off the dime. That was the work of this organization. The settlement in San Francisco was the work of this organization. The day that Kathy Skivers called me and said, would the Lighthouse like to be part of the structured negotiations going forward with the city and county of San Francisco to come to an agreement on accessible pedestrian signals, the Lighthouse had already been involved for years trying to put administrative pressure on the departments to make some decisions to get some things done. But it wasn't until CCB said enough is enough. And all I can say to you about that is thank you, CCB, because enough was enough. So, in November, I decided to apply for the job as the executive director of the World Institute on Disability, where I had worked 26 years ago. And when I worked there, it was as an employment access specialist. I worked with Ed Roberts and Judy Heumann. Ed, because he was the legend that he was, used to kind of roll in about 10 o'clock and roll out about 3. And during that time, had calls from all over the world because his presence was bigger than life. The comments that he made to people around the world, who as he became sort of their leader. I, of course, knew Ed in a different way. I can remember going to Ed's house. He lived in Rockridge, not far from where I was living at the time. He's lying in his iron lung and trying to get me to light his joint. And I'm wondering, will this explode? Remember those good old days? I didn't do that. I really didn't know what that match and that oxygen could do together.
It's like a bomb.
And never having taken a day of chemistry in my life, I wasn't going to find out in an iron lung. However, he could give a speech like nobody's business, and he could empower a crowd. And I think what I learned from him was that we can go forward as a team. It's hard to go forward alone, but it's much easier to go forward as a team. So in essence, I've kind of done this full circle thing. Now, I'm at World Institute trying to determine how we affect policy in Kuwait, or how we do a youth exchange with disabled youth in Ramallah. But I'm also here. My office is in Oakland. I'm right here. I'm in your neighborhood. I'm not going anywhere. I'm a paid-up member of the VABU chapter.
Yeah.
As if my other mentor, Kathy Skivers, would let me be a member anywhere else. And for me, I just want you all to know we're still all in this together. I didn't leave. I just moved over to make room for what I believe will be the next generation of the Lighthouse for the Blind. Thank you very much.
Go ahead. I was just the intro.
Thank God we have her, and she is great. She's been a real inspiration to me as well as most everybody here in the room. So thank you, Anita. All right. I'm not going to tell any more stories. I'll come out looking like a total idiot after tonight. But anyway, I want to thank you all for everything tonight, and I'm going to turn it. I guess we got raffle. We got raffle. You guys, they don't want to do the raffle. You guys don't want to do the raffle. Okay, then I'll go on to. No, we'll do the raffle.
You have more than one.
And it does it have a name here?
Do San Diego first.
Okay. Okay, San Diego. Why don't you come on up here and we'll do the raffle. Oh, she's still outside? Okay. Anyone that wants to do a raffle, come on up.
San Francisco's got.
How about San Fran?
Yeah. Great staff.
Good evening, everyone. Just want to say first, as a clinician, I want you all to know that the Capital Chapter is no longer in danger of being mandated into treatment for hoarding T-shirts. Okay, we have our San Francisco raffle. This raffle, of course, supports the Alice Chavez Pardini Education Advancement Grant. This year we gave $2,500 to a young high school girl who has a vision and hearing loss in order for her to purchase computer equipment, which Steve Clark of Adaptive Technology Services set up for her. And we had a luncheon in March and gave the award, and it's always just a highlight of our year to be able to do that. We appreciate all the support that you give us in making that possible by coming to our corner store and participating in this raffle. So the first prize, there are two prizes. First prize is $100. All right, let's see.
Come on, draw our names.
I need a reader.
Yeah.
Oh. Who? Tony Marshall? Is Tony Marshall here?
I think you're here.
Tony Marshall might need Nurse Bill to go over and see how she's doing.
Tony who?
They don't have to be present to win.
I'll give them the 100.
No. You're right. Okay, so we're going to do the second?
Yep.
No. Second prize is $50. Still a good amount of money. It'll get you partway home. John Ross, yay! You know what to do with some money. All right. You're looking for him. Oh, he stepped out. How unfortunate. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Okay. How about is GDUC around? Okay, Mary Beth Randall. Do you have a microphone? Okay, they'll get you one.
I have one now. Oh, thank you. All right, our winner tonight will receive $36, and I have already taken the liberty of shaking this up. And we will dig in here and find. I will ask if Ed or someone can read the name. Bill Gillespie. Bill is here. And if this can be delivered, I can get some help delivering this to Bill, then that's all we need. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. Okay, thank you. And I'll read this. That's it.
Now we need San Diego.
Is San Diego in the room for the raffle?
You want to do the main raffle?
Yeah, I guess we better.
Who does that?
Lily, do you have the sweepstakes?
Okay, we're going to do, until we get San Diego in here, we're going to do the big sweepstakes. Yay! Although we don't need to do it because I hear that I already won it, so why not?
Oh, you're going down if it was me.
I think a poor lame duck should win.
Okay, folks. Thank you to everyone who took part in purchasing the 650 tickets that were sold. Thank you very much.
$5 a shot, it is.
All right. The first prize that we're going to have Ed draw for is It's $75 in gift cards. $50 is for Safeway Vons, $25 for the 99-cent only stores. So here's Ed. Gussie Morgan. Technically, it says Capital Chapter. Attention, Gussie Morgan. Is that for your chapter fundraiser? Oh, Compton Chapter. Is that for your chapter fundraiser? Maybe? Okay, well, Compton Chapter. Yay. Okay, next prize, $100 cash.
If they don't come, they don't come.
Donna, will you do the honors?
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Kimball. Are you here? That's all right. We'll call you from Alameda Chapter.
That was the fugitive.
Moving right along to the, well, second prize, but it's pretty much grand prize in and of itself. It is 2 round-trip airfare tickets anywhere that Southwest Airlines flies. And also with that, you will get a two-night stay at the Crowne Plaza LAX. Yeah. You do not have to use them together, but you are welcome to. And Leslie's going to draw the next ticket. Winner is Tony Ames.
How about that?
Who won it?
I don't know who. It's kind of sad because, you know.
All right. Grand prize, $500. We'll have Dan draw for this one.
Okay.
Which one's yours?
Dan Kaiser!
Oh. Here you go.
Steve Fort.
You're still working hard, Tony, is advocating. She was out helping us look at roundabouts like 2 or 3 days after.
I see.
Because we had our convention present.
Is San Diego in the room? Okay, San Diego's here to do their raffle. All right.
She really is.
You can still win, people.
Well, that's what he'd want me to do. That's right.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's that person?
Whoever wins this one will have a chance to win $53. That'll buy a few rounds at the hospitality room. So here, I think I'm going to have my friend here from Northern California, Sally, draw the honors. Here, just a sec. Here, I'll look. I have here is 746.
Gotta be ours. Oh.
Oh, wow. No. Okay, I'm Patty Davis.
Patty Davis. That was an internal job. I think they fixed that one. Yeah, it reminds me of the former governor of Chicago. Something funny going on here. Oh, well, I'm out of politics right now. Darn it, because I could have made so much money. Anyway, I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen. And without any further ado, does everybody want to adjourn and go buy me drinks?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Hospitality.
Yeah.